We read from God's Word. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Not Ephesians chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3. Ephesians, I flipped up and I guess I caught it in my peripheral vision and wound up saying Ephesians. Hebrews chapter 3. Beginning our reading at verse 14. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. May God bless the ministry of his word tonight. You may be seated. The writer is laying down some very, very serious warnings in this passage. They are not theoretical, they're not hypothetical, they're actual. The warning is an actual one, and the possibility is a very real one, that they themselves can fall away. In other words, if in the Old Testament, the people that God had blessed so tremendously, if they fell away, then there's every reason to believe that it's possible that you and I can fall away as well. And so the writer says that we are made partakers of Christ if we hold fast our confidence, the beginning of our confidence, if we hold that steadfast unto the end. The word partakers there means that we are partners with Christ. The same word is used to describe the time when Peter and his brother became partners with the two sons of Zebedee. So the writer says we are partners with Christ if we hold from the beginning, hold that which from the beginning we have received unto the end. Now he does not mean here that our good works will save us. He's not saying if our good works are there, that will make us partakers of Christ. Rather, he's saying because we are partners with Christ, there will be the outcropping of those good works. And those good works will be the evidence that indeed we are partners with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not only how we start, it's how we end that's also important in the kingdom of God. And he said that we ought to hold this thing steadfast, our confidence steadfast unto the end. The word confidence there means to stand firm. And I don't think it's without significance that he is contrasting that with another word which means to stand away from, namely apostasy. If you and I wind up the way we started, we will stand in the end. But if we don't wind up the way we started, if we don't keep that which we started with, then we will stand away from Christ in the end or be apostate. So I trust that you and I tonight will ask God to let us keep that order that we had when we were originally saved. You remember the night God saved you? You remember the day, the hour? I tell you, there was nothing too good for Christ after that happened. We were just filled with love divine. Our hearts were overflowing, and we could not do too much for our Lord. I ask you tonight, do you still feel that way? Is that joy that is unspeakable and full of glory still flooding your heart? Oh, I know it's been tempered with trials and tests, setbacks, disappointments, failures along the way, and thank God for the tempering. The joy is there, but there is a difference than the joy we had when we originally accepted Christ. We were like the Israelites when they first came across the Red Sea. God did not take them by the way of the Philistines because he said they don't know what war is. God knew that if he sent them to war against the Philistines that early, they would give up and their hearts would become faint. And that's the way God did for us right after we were saved. He brought us across the Red Sea. He gave us a time of shouting and rejoicing, walking on a cloud. Everything was wonderful because we had not as yet learned spiritual warfare. But then the time comes, you've got to face up to those Amorites. The time comes when the Hittites and the Hivites and the Girgashites and all the otherites have to be confronted. You can't avoid the Philistines forever. And so we have joy, but it's a tempered joy. But do you have that tempered joy still? Is Jesus Christ still the most exciting person in your life? Or the things of God still the things that excite you as nothing else does? If that's the case, it means that order is still there. But if that's not the case, it means that there's been a grievous spiritual slippage along the way. So we're partners with Christ. If we stand firm and not stand away from Christ unto the end. Ah, God preserve us and God keep us unto the end. I have confidence that our God will help us. The Bible said that he that hath begun a good work in us will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible talks about that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So there is no reason to expect we're going to drop out. There's no reason to plan on it. But we have a faithful God who's going to help us all the way if we'll just keep our hand in the nail-scarred hand. God help us to be faithful unto the end. Then he says in the next verse, while it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. There are four essential things in this verse. Number one, hear his voice. Hearken unto his voice. It's not enough that God speaks to us. We've got to hear God when he speaks to us. You know, the Bible talks about people who hear but who don't really hear. That's why in the Revelation, the Spirit to the seven churches said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It's one thing for God to speak to you and me. It's quite another for us to hear God. You will remember in John chapter 12, Jesus prayed to the Father, O Father, glorify thyself. And there came a voice from heaven. And the voice said, I have glorified myself and will glorify myself again. Now, the people who heard that, some of them said it was thunder. Think of that. Here's the voice of God, and to them, it's thunder. Unfortunately, there are people like that today. God speaks. He speaks very plainly, but to them, it's mere thunder. Rather than hearing God's voice, all they hear is thunder. I ask you tonight, when God speaks, do you hear God? When God speaks, do you recognize his voice? When God's word comes forth, do you recognize it as God's word? Do you hearken to the voice of God? It's one thing to hear it, it's quite another to hearken to it. Do you know what God says? So first of all, hearken to God's voice. Then the verse tells us this, harden not your heart. The reason our heart is hardened is because we don't hearken to God's voice. If you will hearken to God's voice, your heart will not be hardened. But if we refuse the voice of God, our heart is slowly but surely going to become hardened. Now, God's voice, child of God, usually comes through this book. If you want to know where God's voice comes from, it comes normally through this book. Now, there are occasions when it will come elsewhere. There will be times when it'll come through prophecy. There will be times when it'll come through tongues and interpretation of tongues. And there are various ways that God communicates himself to us. There will be times when it will come through circumstances, and we know that God is talking to us through those circumstances, but primarily the voice of God comes through the Word of God. So it follows then, if we want to know what God is saying, we've got to take time to read what God has said. Somebody has said, if God has been good enough to speak to us, then we ought to be decent enough to listen to what God has said. See what I mean? If God in His sovereignty loved us so that He's talked to us through His Word, then you and I need to hear what God has said through that Word. So get yourself much in the Word of God. And by getting into God's Word constantly, you will hear the voice of God. And then when you hear the voice of God, you know what God demands, and that way your heart does not come very subtly hardened. The reason, I repeat, our hearts get hardened is we don't take time to hear God's Word. And primarily, God speaks to us through His written Word. So He says, harden not your heart. The third thing that God says in this passage is that you must hearken to that voice promptly. Today, if you will hear His voice. Not next week, not tomorrow, but tonight is when you need to start hearing the voice of God. There are people always going to do it down the line. And they remind me of old Ben Putnitoff. Have you ever met old Ben Putnitoff? He's everywhere. And old Ben Putnitoff has been a member of every church I've pastored. He's just always putting it off. He's been putting it off ever since he was saved, and he still hasn't gotten it done. God deliver us from Ben Putnitoffs in the church. And so Ben Putnitoff is everywhere, and you get Ben Putnitoff and Nellie Popoofnik together, and boy, you've got a tandem, I can assure you. But today, not tomorrow, today, tonight, is the time to hear God's voice. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as Savior and Lord, if you've spurned what God has been saying to you, I warn you, friend, today, right now, promptly, this is a time to hear God's voice. So the writer says, number one, hear God's voice. Number two, in the light of that, don't let your heart be hardened. And then number three, you must not only hear God's voice, and by doing so, not let your heart become hardened, but you must hear God's voice right now, today, if ye will hear His voice. Oh, hell is full of people who said, tomorrow I'll listen to God. Tomorrow things will be different. Now, friend, it's one thing to say you're going to go on a diet today and put it off tomorrow. You won't go to hell for that. But you may go to hell if you say, I'm going to turn to God tomorrow and don't turn to God today. The Bible teaches from Genesis to the Revelation, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. And God says to you and me as His children, this very night, not tomorrow, but right now, let's start hearing the voice of God. Then the fourth thing that this verse says, and once you do it right now, keep it up unto the end, while it is called today. In other words, all the time it is called today, we're to hear God's voice. Not only are we to do it promptly, but we're to persevere in it. We're never to let up on it. As long as it's called today, the Bible said we must hearken unto the voice of God. How long will it be called today? Until Jesus comes. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. This is the day of grace. This is a day of opportunity. This is a day of God's revelation of love and stretching out. During that time, we have an opportunity to hear the voice of God. We're to do it immediately. And then once we do it immediately, we're never to stop doing it. As long as it's called today, let us hearken unto the voice of God. In other words, you may be sitting here and you may say, yes, the pastor's right. I need to listen to God's voice. I need to take time to be holy. I've had time for everything else, but I haven't had time for the Word of God. Friend, I want to tell you something. You have time for the things which are important. You show me the things you do, and I'll show you the things that are important to you. If God's word is important to you, you will find time for the word of God. If prayer is important to you, you'll find time for prayer. There won't be any ifs, buts, or maybes. You will find time for the thing which is important. And if God's word is important to you, you will find time for it. And you may say, I have not found time for the word of God, but I'm going to start right now. And even now, you may be opening up your heart to God's word. That's wonderful. But 2 weeks from now, don't stop. Keep it up, my brother. Keep it up, my sister. Get in the habit of listening to the voice of God. This morning in the prayer meeting, I was sitting here with my Bible, and I opened my heart to God, and I was praying about a certain matter. I said, God, give me the answer. And God dropped it in my heart, and I didn't even know where it was located. I knew it was in the scripture, but I didn't know the location. Had to get my concordance to find out where it was. Well, when I looked it up, man, I almost came out of my chair, because it met directly the very thing I'd asked God to show me. And he spoke to me through his word, and that was wonderful, but you have to keep it up. Be habitual with it. Learn to be recipients of the voice of God. So, the writer says, number one, hearken to God's voice. Number two, do it. So, number two, so that your heart won't be hardened. Number three, do it right now. And once you've done it right now, keep it up. Don't ever let it stop. And that way, you won't ever have to worry about losing out with God. Now, let's go on. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all they that came out of Egypt by Moses. The original puts this a little differently. The original brings it out this manner. And who was it, pray tell me, who vexed God? Why, those very people in the wilderness. I want to repeat that. The original brings it out this way. And who was it, pray tell me, who vexed God? Those very Israelites in the wilderness. Now, three times God will make indictments here, and I want you to see how God does it. So God says, and who was it that had the audacity to vex God? Those very Israelites in the wilderness. The Bible said that they provoked God. This is the only time this word is used in the New Testament in the original language. It means to vex. It means to make bitter. And who was it that made embitterment? Why, those very Israelites in the wilderness. Think of that. The very Israelites that God had brought out of Egypt. The very Israelites that God had rolled back the Red Sea in order to deliver them. The very Israelites that God had led by the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. The very Israelites that over and over again God had revealed the arm of his power. Those same Israelites, they were the ones that brought bitterness, that made embitterment in the wilderness. They vexed God. After all, God had done for them. I tell you, you and I need to take inventory tonight. Folk, we never want to vex God. We never want to embitter the scene as it relates to our relationship to God. I'm afraid there are those who have professed the name of Christ who have been brought into a context of embitterment, as the Israelites had, because of their unbelief. And the fact that what all God had done for them really did not matter anymore. And this embitterment was their undoing. Hear your pastor. You can come back from any sin that you ever commit except one. Bitterness. You will never recover if you don't let bitterness come out of your heart. There has never been a sin any child of God has committed that cannot be forgiven, and the child of God be restored, and they come back and be a saint of God and a model of sanctity, but one, bitterness. Nobody has ever come back from bitterness. Unless you let God take bitterness out of your heart, you will never have a spiritual comeback. I've seen preachers, they were ruined forever. Why? Because of bitterness. Not because of their original sin, but because of their bitterness. You cannot recover from bitterness. Child of God, bitterness is the biggest enemy you face. So whatever you do, don't let there be a bitterness between your relationship to God and in your relationship to your brother and your sister. Everything else you can recover from, but until bitterness is laid aside, you will never have a recovery. And that's why it's so horrible. It's impossible to come back again if bitterness has totally won you over. So God says, these people provoke me, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Now obviously this is referring to the time when God brought Israel up to the borders of the promised land. They came to Kadesh Barnea, and he said, it's time to go in and possess the land. They said to Moses, before we do that, we'd like to spy out the land. And Moses later told them that seemed well to him. So they sent in the scouting party to spy out the land. They did that. They brought back grapes from Eshcol, and a tremendously large cluster of grapes they brought back to provide the evidence that it was a land flowing with milk and honey, a very fruitful land. Yes, they said it's a good land, and it is everything that you've heard. However, they said, we did observe that there are giants in the land, and we're grasshoppers in their sight. And when they said that, Israel forgot everything God had ever done for them. Even though Joshua and Caleb submitted the minority report, they wouldn't accept the minority report. They voted on the majority report, and the majority report won in the business session. And Moses and Joshua and Caleb said, listen, our God is able to help us. He can do it. But they still would not listen. And when that happened, God swore in his wrath. He said, because you have said you will not enter the land, then I say you will not enter the land. And the judgment of God came down upon them, and God said, they vex me because of their unbelief. So close, and yet so far. Right to the border, and yet 38 more years, and not one of them, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, will ever see the land of promise. Oh, sin is a horrible thing. Sin is a tragic thing. I trust that the Word of God will just come down into your very consciousness tonight, that you might see, friend, the terrible, horrible picture of sin. God said, these people vex me. Not all of them. There were two who did not, but practically all of them did so. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Now once again, God is asking the question. First of all, he said, who was it that tested me or vexed me, provoked me, brought on embitterment? Was it not they that came out of Egypt? Then God says, who was it that grieved me, or stronger word, it's literally disgusted me 40 years? Who would be the people who would disgust God for 40 years? Can you imagine that? I pray we'll never disgust God 40 seconds, but here are these people disgusted God for 40 years. What kind of people is it that would disgust God for 40 years? People that God had blessed, people God had never wronged, people that God had wonderful plans for, and yet in spite of all that, they disgusted God for 40 years. People that God said, you're the apple of my eye, you'll be my peculiar treasure. People that God had called for a purpose to magnify his name on the earth. People that never deserved the calling of God. People who rightfully should be back in Egypt enduring the bondage thereof. Yet these same people disgusted God for 40 years. What a tragedy it is to disgust God for 40 years. Could it be some churches disgust God for 40 years? And there are some. There are some churches that disgust God repeatedly. They disgust him because they won't preach his word. They disgust him because they won't live right. They disgust him where if they do preach his word, they don't live the word. They constantly disgust God. May First Assembly of God of Greater New Orleans never in the heavenly tribunal be charged with disgusting God. We don't want to disgust God. I don't mind if we disgust the devil. I don't even mind if we disgust the world. But I don't want to disgust God. If you please God, you will disgust the devil. If you please God, you will disgust the world. And that's not my problem. I don't wake up wondering how I'm going to please New Orleans. I wake up in the morning asking, how can I please God today? If I please God, that's all I need to do. God will take care of the rest. But we have too many people professing the name of Christ who ask, how can I please the world? How can I be one of them? How can I be accepted? How can I have influence with the world? The best way to have influence with the world is to have power with God. If we will have power with God, we will have influence with the world. But if we don't have power with God, there will not be a genuine, lasting influence we have with the world. Any influence will be nothing but compromise. And I'll tell you this, the world may not admit it, but they don't expect you and me to act as they do. And nobody is more shocked if they see us acting as they act. Oh, they may kid you, and they may blast you, and they may persecute you, they may mock you, they may jeer you, but nobody would be as disappointed and as shocked as they if you were to do the things they're taunting you because you don't do. It's because you are different that gives them the respect that in order to hide it, they veil it in taunting you and mocking you. It's a left-handed compliment to you. That's right. They don't expect you to be as they are. And if you'll just hold your ground, if you'll just be what you are, if you'll just be the child of God you are, if you'll be like Phyllis Sevilla, everybody at downtown and City Hall knows what she stands for. She loves God and she loves her church. If you'll be like Sister Sevilla, if I could repeat that without number here in First Assembly, just be what you are, do what's right, give your employer an honest 8 days work or however much you work, and live right, pay your debts, and love God and serve Him faithfully, you will be a power for God, and you will never disgust God. Hallelujah. And God will make you lovely even to those who don't really like you. Praise God. So he said that they disgusted me 40 years. And he said, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness. I want you to see how severe God is. You know, God is usually kind in his statements. But here, I mean, he just simply blasts them. Whose carcasses fell in the wilderness. That's not the way you talk about the deceased. You know, what if I were to get up at a funeral and say, Brother Papoofnik's carcass fell on the street yesterday, dearly beloved. And dearly beloved, Brother Papoofnik's carcass is lying in the casket. Oh, his carcass has fallen. God have mercy. You think your pastor lost his mind? We don't talk that way about the dead. And God usually doesn't. But this shows how disgusted God was. You know, when God gets disgusted, he even talks in language like that. God is surely disgusted. He said their carcasses fell in the wilderness. And that is registering his disgust at their rebellion against him. Oh, may God never have to speak in such terms in reference to you and me. And to whom? That believe not. Now, three indictments here. Number one, they made embitterment. Number two, they sin. Number three, they believe not. Three ways God has of describing the same sin. You see, there are times the Holy Spirit comes from every angle against sin. When the Holy Spirit wants you and me to see how awful sin really is, he comes against it many times with various angles, all saying the same thing. Whether God is saying that it was the fact they vexed me, or whether God is saying that they were full of unbelief, or whether God is saying that they did not trust me, or however God puts it. It's all saying the same thing, but these are ways of repetition which the Spirit is using to let us know how tragic and awful sin really is, once we've known God to fall so very short indeed. God said, these people did not enter in because of unbelief. And this word unbelief can also be translated disobedience. You see, if you look at it from the angle of the heart, it's unbelief. If you look at it from the angle of the will, it is disobedience. So whether it's the heart registering unbelief or it's the will registering disobedience, it's a heinous sin against God. And God said they did not enter in because of unbelief. So here God says unbelief, embittering him. And then also the fact that they had sin kept them out of the promised land. A tragedy of tragedies. Verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. All right, let's put it all together now. What is the Spirit saying to First Assembly tonight? Number one, he is saying that just as Israel was brought out of Egypt, you and I have been delivered from the worldly bondage of our spiritual Egypt. We've been born again. We've become God's own. We've become a people that God wants to take out from among the Gentiles for his name. So he's saying we likewise are children of God. And he's saying that he has a rest for us, the children of God, but that we can fall short of that rest. Adam and Eve fell short of that rest. What they lost was communion and intimate fellowship with God. The Israelites fell short of that rest. What they lost was the land flowing with milk and honey. Apostates, which you and I can become if we don't remain faithful to God, will not enter into God's rest. Our loss will be the new heavens and the new earth. So you see, God is saying that though we're his children, though he's taken us spiritually out of our Egypt, though he's rolled back our Red Sea, though he's filled us with the Spirit, though we've tasted of the powers of the age to come, it is possible to come up tragically short in the end and fail to enter into his rest, namely, never enter into the new heavens and the new earth. Now, number three, God is saying then in the light of that, when I speak, listen to what I'm saying. Never count it a light thing when God speaks to you. God speaking to you, child of God, is the issue of life and death. Never count it a light thing when God is speaking to you. Number two, when God is speaking to you, hearken to what he's saying. Listen to the voice of God. What is God saying to me? What does the Father communicate to me in this situation? What has God tried to teach me in this particular event? What is God saying to me? Number three, don't let your heart become hardened. The Bible says that our heart becomes hardened through the what? The deceitfulness of sin. Sin is tricky. Sin is deceptive. And before you know it, your heart has become hardened. Why? Because you have not listened to the voice of God. Now God says, fourth, when your heart becomes hardened, then unbelief will set in. God tells you to do something today, you just simply do it. You've discovered God is faithful. You've discovered God wouldn't have told you to have done it if you could not do it. But now, because God has spoken and you did not hearken, unbelief has come. and now you doubt God. And this is the 10th great test, God said, that Israel gave him. And after 10, God said, no more. God gave Israel 10 major tests. They failed every one of them. And finally, God said, it's enough for an F. I put them in remedial classes long enough. Can you imagine any teacher excusing a student 10 times on an examination? I've never had a teacher give me 10 shots at it. Can you imagine God giving Israel 10 shots to get the examination correct, and they still didn't do it? God said, they're flunked. They've got an F. They're hopeless. They can't even enter a remedial class. And God simply dismissed them from his school. And the reason was they had not hearkened to the voice of God, thus letting their heart become hardening, bringing in unbelief. And finally, God says, when unbelief comes, there comes disaster. Disaster is the consequence of unbelief. But see, unbelief is not just something that can walk up and knock you down as a child of God. Unbelief is not something that's come in overpower you. Unbelief comes because we let it come. We don't hear God when he speaks. We don't understand what God is saying. Or if we do understand it, we're disobedient. We won't do it. As a result, the heart becomes hardened. And when the heart becomes hardened, unbelief comes in. And when unbelief comes in, disobedience comes in. And when disobedience comes in, tragedy and disaster come in. And we wind up in disaster, all because we have refused to hearken unto the voice of God. I shall say this over and over again. That is why it is of the utmost importance that you, as a child of God, avail yourself to attend every means of grace offered here at First Assembly of God. Every time these church doors are open, you ought to be here. The reason is God is speaking in these services, and you need to hear what God is saying to the church and to you as an individual. And if you don't hear what God is saying, there's no way you will ever be obedient, because you don't even know what it is God wants you to do. But then if you do come faithfully, listen to what God has to say. Listen to the voice of God. Hearken to God's voice. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Don't be afraid to do what God is telling you to do. Because if you don't, your heart, maybe not too noticeably, but slowly and surely, will become hardened. Then comes unbelief. Disobedience is a result of unbelief. And disaster is the result of disobedience. A retrogression step by step, simply because they would not hearken to the voice of God. God help you, and God help me tonight to be sensitive to the voice of God, to go to this book constantly and say, Father, what is it you're trying to say? Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me. And I admonish you, don't go to contrary voices of the Word of God. Don't read nonsensical material. Don't read things that tear down your faith. Stay away from this nonsense of Jesus may come in 1988, that baloney of 88 reasons. Stay away from that junk. Get out of the garbage can. Keep your mind in the Word of God. And then you won't be led astray by garbage. You won't be led astray by the devil. You won't be confused. Stay in God's book. Attend the means of grace. And then, thank God, you will not waver. Unbelief will not set in. The heart will not harden. Disobedience will not come. And you, thank God, will not encounter disaster. But in that day of the rest that remaineth for the child of God, namely the new heavens and the new earth, he'll say, come on in, my child, unto the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm wondering tonight if there are those here who would say, Pastor Brown, God has been speaking to me as the Word of God has gone forth this evening. I haven't been heeding the voice of God. Maybe you've never accepted the Lord as your personal Savior. Maybe you have not surrendered to Him, or maybe you know Him, but you've been rebelling against His voice. And you want to cease that. You want to hoist the white flag of surrender to the voice of God tonight. And you would like for me to pray for you, and these people of God to pray for you, that God will help you to surrender to His voice. And when He speaks, to hear what God is saying, and then to do what He tells you to do. Would you slip up your hands if you need prayer? If you're having difficulty in this realm, yes, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, and God bless you, yes. How many more? You'll say, I'm having difficulty. God is speaking to me, and I'm having difficulty responding as I ought. Pray for me, Pastor, that I'll be very sensitive to the voice of God. Are there others as we continue to wait? Yes, God bless you, and God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everybody to please stand. Everybody standing. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, I thank Thee tonight for these who in Thy fear have lifted their hands, signifying that though they know Thou art speaking to them, they're having difficulty responding with a yes resoundingly to Thee. God, help these dear friends tonight. Help them to totally surrender to the voice of God. Help them to surrender to the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray if any of them knows not the Savior, this very hour they shall bring them to God and repentance, so that Jesus Christ will become Lord and Savior of their lives. If they do know Thee, but they're having a struggle saying yes to God, they're having a struggle walking in obedience, do help them likewise tonight. May they see that God's way is the best way. May they understand that God will never give a man any responsibility who does not give him ability to fulfill it. So talk to their hearts and minister to them and help them in these moments and make them us a blessing to them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here tonight and don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you're tired of resisting His voice, you're tired of the guilt and the woe and the misery of sin, you'd like for Christ to come in your life, I want you to move out right where you're standing and come down to God's altar right now and surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You that lifted your hands, if you need Christ, will you just move out right now and let the Christ of glory come into your lives? Will you come? While the sweet, tender voice of the Holy Spirit addresses you now, will you come? I'm going to ask everybody who lifted your hands a few moments ago to come. It may be you're all Christians, but you're having difficulty saying yes to that voice of God. Come on now and let God take care of it for you tonight. God bless you, sir. Thank you kindly. That's right. They're beginning to come. Come right along. Let's don't say no to the voice of God. Let's don't rebel against God. Let's don't resist God. Let's don't run from God. Hallelujah. Thank God they're coming. Thank God they're coming. Are there others of you? That's right. Come right along. Just be honest about it tonight. You're among friends. Thank God. God's going to take care of this for you tonight. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Are there others? You come right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Now I want the members of our ministerial staff and our under-shepherds to come and join me. We're going to pray that God will help our friends to say yes to Jesus. Amen to Jesus. It's amen, Jesus. It's amen. all the time. It's amen, Jesus. It's amen all the time. Thank God for young people standing here tonight. Hallelujah. God, if a truth is doing something, whether you've come to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, whether you're a child of God but have had difficulty yielding to God's call and God's voice, God is going to help you tonight. Our Father and our God, I bring these dear friends to Thee right now. God, I thank Thee that they've heard the voice of God through this word tonight. That's the first hopeful sign that this message itself, which has been the word of God and the voice of God, they have heard. Now, God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Thou shalt release them. Oh, God, cut out any resistance tonight. Oh, God, cut out any resistance. Perform radical spiritual surgery on this will of rebellion and stubbornness. Oh, God, remove it tonight. Remove it tonight. It's amen, Jesus. It's amen all the time. Amen, Jesus. Amen all the time. Amen, Jesus. Amen all the time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have faith in God. I feel God sweeping over this service. Let's sing it now as God touches these lives. Have faith in God. Worship Him. Let Him have His way. Saint of God, He's moving tonight. Make an altar right where you are back there. God's doing something tonight. Have faith in God. Things are going to get better. God's going to see you through. You're going to make it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have faith in God. Your family's going to be saved. Your business is going to be saved. Have faith in God. God's going to do a miracle for you. Hallelujah.
Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. For the answer, have
Lord is present to heal. If there are those here tonight sick in body, you want God to heal you of your physical infirmities, would you just come to God's altar? We're going to pray for you as well. If you're here and you came for God to help you to yield to His will, but you need bodily healing, lift your hand. We'll pray for you as well. That's right. You come as they sing again. If you're sick in body, come on right now. Hallelujah. To God's altar. The Holy Spirit is doing something in this service tonight. Everybody come. Thank God. Have faith in God. Father, in the name of the Son of the living God.
Have faith in God. Just have
every fetter.
Jesus breaks.
Hallelujah.
Every Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus
Yacht.
Hallelujah. Glory to the Son of the living God. Glory to God and the Lamb forever. Glory to God and the Lamb forever. Praise the Lord. Glory to God, glory to God, Ishatama, Tasaramata. Kula Ramabamate, Shalaramata, Sandramabamate. Glory to God, glory to God. Spirit gives you the interpretation, go right ahead.
My little one, I would that you would know that the Lord God of all creation is with thee. I would that ye would know that the Lord God of all creation is a mighty God, a powerful God, a glorious God, and there is nothing that can come against you that the Lord thy God is not capable of handling. Oh, but if my children would just but look unto me and know that there is nothing so small, so minute,